This is Express FM.
Supported by Portsmouth College.
We are passionately pumping.
New beginnings, look forward, work together to create a Portsmouth football club that we can all be proud to be associated with.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
It's a massive club, it's a massive opportunity for me. I know this atmosphere is special. I can't wait to see a full house and it rocking.
Action and reaction.
This is Shoes Football Club. We're here to be hopefully successful. The infrastructure's changing, so really we want to start pushing forward and making Portsmouth a real force.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
It's a club with a rich tradition, a rich heritage, but one that has an excellent relationship with its supporters.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
A busy weekend for Portsmouth Football Club. Delight for the men on Saturday.
Deep towards the far post. And it's nodded down and in! Conor Ogilvie's first for the club. Pompey 2, Morecambe 0.
But despair for the women on Sunday.
It'll be lobbed towards the penalty spot. Flicked on, loose in the area, bundled over the line. Saints may have just found their winner.
Between now and 7 o'clock, we'll hear from both managers, starting with Danny Cowley's post-match assessment from the 2-0 win over Morecambe.
A great win, probably for me, our best win of the season. For us to take 4 points out of this week, it's been an incredible effort from the players. I'm really proud of them.
And later on, Jay Sadler, who felt frustrated with how yesterday's South Coast derby unfolded at the Draper Tools Community Stadium.
We're hurting as a group. We're disappointed. I'm disappointed. We don't want to lose any game of football. But I am proud. I think that performance warranted more.
A jam-packed evening of pure and passionate Pompey discussion. Certainly 60 minutes of content you will not want to miss. You're listening to Express FM, and this is the Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome to another instalment of the Football Hour here on 93.7 Express FM. Driven to you this season by Stagecoach across the South, getting you across the South Coast and through Hampshire with a minimum of fuss. Head to stagecoachbus.com for more information on timetables, routes, fares and even more as well. Between now and 7 o'clock we want to hear from you back home as well, Pompey fans. Let us know all of your post-match reaction to Saturday's 2-0 win over Morecambe. Who was your man of the match at Fratton Park at the weekend? Get in touch, all the usual methods. 81400 is the number to text. Start your messages with the word Express. Email Pompey at expressfm.com. Include at expressfm on Twitter, or you can visit facebook.com/PompeyLive. Before we go any further with the conversation this evening, and before I welcome in my two guests for tonight's conversation, we're going to hand you back to Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock at PO4. Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham have a commentary of Pompey versus Morecambe.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoot and score!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Right, we are pretty much ready to get underway. Portsmouth are in usual home colours, going from left to right in the first half towards the Milton end. Morecambe, the change strip for them, all black. And they are going towards the Fratton end. Curtis turns it round the corner as he steps over it. Romeo trying to get it round the back. That's lovely from Pompey. Romeo's cross looking for the far post for Hurst. Important defensive header from Wootton. And Hackett's going to pick it up on the left wing. But warm applause for that lovely move. Hackett trying to deliver the ball into the box. Trying to drive past McLaughlin. He's got away from him. To Curtis. Curtis to shoot. High and wide. 0-0. This is nice from Pompey. And Curtis is trying to put Hurst in behind. And it's a chance for George Hurst. Round the goalkeeper. The angle's tight. Still there. Hurst. Cleared off the line and in! Surely! How's that not got in? It is now! Harness has got the finish. Hurst has denied the goal himself. But Morecambe's desperate defending, not enough. And Marcus Harness has reached double figures for Portsmouth. They have the lead. Inside 11 minutes, Pompey 1, Morecambe 0. Hackett is going to step up, hit it round the wall and saved by Leatherin, who again fumbles it, but no one can get to the follow-up. Deep towards the far post. And it's nodded down and in! And there is that headed goal! Conor Ogilvie's first for the club! In front of the Fratton end! And Portsmouth move into a commanding position. Pompey 2, Morecambe 0. Portsmouth return to winning ways after their midweek draw with Sheffield Wednesday. They have beaten Morecambe by 2-0 at Fratton Park.
Every second of the action is right here. Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
The highlights there, brought to you here on Pompey Live, as the Blues saw off Morecambe by 2-0 at Fratton Park on Saturday afternoon. Let's read out some of the other results from the weekend. Then Accrington Stanley 1, Bolton Wanderers 0. Charlton, they beat Cambridge by 2-0 at the Valley. Cheltenham and Lincoln shared the points in a 2-2 draw at Wadden Road. Sheffield Wednesday, they defeated Crewe Alexandra by 2-0 away from home. Doncaster were 1-0 winners over Shrewsbury Town. Fleetwood 2, Gillingham 1, MK Dons 1, Oxford United 2, Rotherham 3, Burton Albion 1, Sunderland beat Plymouth Argyle by 2-1, Wigan Athletic and Ipswich Town held to a 1-1 draw at the DW, and Wickham Wanderers 2, AFC Wimbledon 2. A dramatic ending to the game there at Adams Park, and of course you've got Pompey's 2-0 victory over Morecambe as well. And those results on Saturday leave the League One table looking like this. Rotherham and Wigan are your top two as things stand. Wigan 2 points behind the leaders Rotherham with a game in hand. The playoffs are currently made of Sunderland, Wickham, Oxford and Plymouth. Pompey jump up to 8th and leapfrog the MK Dons, now just 1 point behind the top six. The current bottom four, now Morecambe, Gillingham, Doncaster Rovers and Crewe Alexandra. OK, time to welcome in my two guests for this evening's conversation. And I'm delighted to welcome in to the Football Hour for the very first time a very familiar face here on Express FM. It's Mr. Kevin Stokes.
Hello, Jake. How are you?
I'm fantastic. It's great to have you on the show, my friend.
Well, it's good to be here. Yeah, I like my music, but I do like my football as well, so it's a perfect fit.
Yeah, how does it feel to be sat on the opposite side of a desk?
A bit strange, actually.
Yeah?
I haven't got any CDs, I haven't got any vinyl, so it's football. And I did say I was going to do some keepy-ups for you, but I can't, I've got my knee strap on, so I won't do that.
Oh, that's unfortunate. We did have a football lined up, but unfortunately it's gone flat. We don't have a pump,
yeah.
So we'll get you in another time to do that, now that you've put yourself forward for the challenge. And joining us over the internet this evening from home, Adam Hillier. Adam, likewise, mate, great to have you back on the show.
Yeah, evening, Joe. Thanks for having me. Yeah, pleasure to be back on.
So, a lot to talk about from the weekend then, Kevin. We'll start off with you. We just heard the highlights from Andy and Guy there, and one of the biggest talking points is Marcus Harness. Once again, in with the goals, a player on superb form right now, now into double figures.
Yeah. Yeah, he's played well this season, actually. And it is with most strikers or footballers, you know, get one goal and a few will follow. Mm. He's a good player. I like him now.
Yeah.
I was a bit apprehensive when he first came, but I think he fits into the system well, and he's got an eye for a goal.
Yeah, and there's a reason why he's got a song named after him, Adam Hillier, a certain Elton John song. He is a star man. He's playing on Pompey's wing. Would you go as far as saying that Marcus Harness, so far this season, creeping up to the halfway stage, one of the most integral players to Danny Cowley's side?
Absolutely. I think without him, especially with some of the striking options we've had, starting to improve, hopefully now with Hurst being playing a lot better, but he's had to step up and fill in that role that, you know, a couple of, maybe, you know, if we had a couple more strikers, would have been able to do. So he might be doing more than one role at the time, because he pops up with a crucial pass now and again to get us in behind and get us going. So yeah, he's integral to the side. He's a massive part of why we work.
In terms of the overall performance on Saturday, Kevin, you know, Pompey 2-0 winners over Morecambe, just been promoted to League One for the first time in their history. They've got a goal threat in Cole Stockton. How do you think Pompey managed to withstand that goal threat? I know we kept a clean sheet, Gavin Bazunu, we'll talk about him in a little while, but in terms of Cole Stockton, didn't get on the score sheet, but handled pretty well by the Pompey defence.
No, I was talking to my dad about Cole Stockton. I like him. I saw him play in the FA Cup last week. He scored the winning goal, I think, in the second round, and he scored that 60-yarder, didn't he? Which went in on the full. And I thought, well, he's a proper footballer. But I thought, the boys managed him very well, kept him very quiet. He played quite deep, actually, I thought.
And Kevin mentions the Pompey defence handling Cole Stockton pretty well at the weekend. Adam, that's now 10 clean sheets in the league for the Blues this season. One of the best defensive records in the division. When you take into consideration that kind of poor run of form Pompey were in between kind of mid-August, mid-October, that's a phenomenal achievement.
It's incredible. And I was actually reading today, and actually I find it's the best record in the division and the best record across all four divisions. So that speaks a lot about how well. We've sort of turned it around from where, especially where we were struggling against the likes of Cambridge earlier on in the season. And that just has to go down to all the team, you know, getting on with it, especially recently where we've had illnesses and injuries, players stepping up. And yeah, the defence is just as important as any part of the team. And it's so good to see that we, you know, we play with such a solid back five at the moment. We didn't look like we were going to concede at all at the weekend. I thought Morecambe were very, very poor. They threatened nothing. I can only recall them having one shot on target, which was as a new save onto the post. So, you know, it keep going like that throughout the rest of the season. I definitely think we'll be contenders come May.
Yeah. And one man certainly at the heart of the Pompey defence this season, Kevin, and we spoke about it multiple times on the Football Hour about how he's probably the Blues' most improved player over the last couple of seasons, Sean Raggett.
He's a great player. He just loves defending, I think. He just wants to come off that pitch with a, you know, a wonky nose or a black eye or something. He just puts himself in there. And, yeah, he's proper... really become a fan favourite, hasn't he?
100%. Yeah. And I think a lot of that comes down to, like you say, his commitment, and it's just his willpower and his desire to come off the pitch, leaving every single, you know, piece of his body on,
absolutely,
on that pitch.
Yeah. But just one other thing. You do defend from the front.
Yeah.
And I think in recent games, we haven't been kicking the ball up there and it's been coming straight back. That's been key, I think, to the last few results.
Do you think a lot of that comes down to the usage of George Hurst?
Well, I do. I think he's strong. He can hold a ball up and bring others into play, and he wins a header.
Yeah.
You know, which is all you want from your centre forward if he's playing up there on his own. And he's done well. I like him.
From Sean Raggett then, Adam, to another one of Pompey's defenders at the weekend. And before I do mention who I'm going to be talking about now, I want to kind of bring up a stat that we spoke about here on Pompey Live before kickoff, that Pompey were the only side in the division prior to kickoff that not yet scored a header or a penalty this season. But up steps Conor Ogilvie in the second half to put the game to bed. And a great header it was, but in terms of Conor Ogilvie's overall performance on Saturday and in recent weeks, how impressed have you been, Adam?
Very much so. Yeah, he's been outstanding. I mean, you know, he's brought into the team, and I think we all saw him coming in the summer as sort of that left back. But given the injuries we've had and the way he stepped up, and, you know, he's played in midfield as well this season, towards the beginning of the season. So he's a bit of a jack of all trades, and I think he's invaluable at the back of them. I mean, I think, you know, him and Baggett and Freeman were solid there at the weekend. And, you know, especially, and I think we'll come on to it, with players coming back like Robertson, hopefully, in the next few weeks, you see it, you know, do you really want to change that up? Because you know, he was outstanding the weekend, man of the match for sure, and a fantastically taken well goal.
Yeah. Okay, Adam, Kevin, thank you both very much. We'll come back to you guys in just a few moments' time. But first of all, we're going to hear the post-match thoughts of Blues boss Danny Cowley. He spoke to Ollie Marsh on the touchline at the weekend after the full-time whistle, and Ollie first asked for the gaffer's assessment of the game.
Yeah, just a great win, probably for me, our best win of the season. When you consider the amount that we've had against us this week, amount of player unavailability, whether it's been injury or illness, for us to take 4 points out of this week has been an incredible effort from the players. I'm really proud of them. We've been literally bare bones. Even today, I know we had one or two back. Michael Jacobs, if you look at him today, looked like a ghost. He did well to come in and do a little bit of training yesterday. We probably could have used him if we needed him, but it would have only been if we desperately needed him. And the rest of them, you know, they've backed games up. You know, we've played three games. Sean Williams, a 35-year-old in the centre midfield, 390 minutes. Young Miguel, 19, playing, backing games up for the first time. I just thought it was a not a brilliant performance, but a really important win.
Yeah, in these situations where you are, you know, not you don't have a huge amount of depth, is that when you look for an extra 10% from your players to get you through it?
Well, this is it. I, like I said, I didn't think technically, tactically, it was our best performance. I thought, you know, I didn't think we played with the rhythm or the fluency that we would like. But what we did do is show a huge amount of resilience, a huge amount of determination, and a load of grit as well. And I think the supporters appreciated that at the end. They gave it their all, the players. We said to them beforehand, whatever you've got, if you've got 80%, then give me 80%. If you've got 90%, then I'll take 90%. And if it's that God-given day where you feel 100%, then I'll have all 100%. But whatever you've got, try to give the team. And I thought, to a player, they did that.
Marcus Harness is certainly playing his part at the moment. His 10th goal of the season today. You said that that was the target that you gave him, but did you expect him to hit that before Christmas?
No, by Christmas the target was to get 10. He's got to go and get another 10 now. No, listen, he's done really well. I thought it was actually a really good move. I thought we had some good moves on the counter first half. And we carried some good threat with George and Ronan and Marcus. We probably should have taken a chance before it got to Marcus, but it shows the energy and the fitness of the players that they're backing up the play. And when the ball did drop to him, you probably wouldn't want it to drop to anyone else at the moment than Marcus Harness.
And Connor Ogilvie, the other goal scorer as well. How nice for him to get his first goal for the club.
Yeah, good. Well, he can score goals. He scored goals last year for Gillingham. And we've been working hard at our corners without much reward to this point. I think that's our first headed goal in the league. I'm pleased that we were able to get the delivery right and the timing of the run right. And then, obviously, you know, Connor attacked the ball really well. And I thought it was a really good performance for Connor, not just the goal. I thought the goal probably was the cherry on the top of what was a really good performance.
And as well as mentioning the two goal scorers, we should probably mention Gavin Bazunu as well. That's one of the saves of the season from him in the second half.
Yeah, he's good, isn't he? For me, one of the best saves I've seen live. I thought it was an outstanding save. What I liked even more is then in the next couple of moments, two crosses come in and just his starting position and the way he tapped the crosses and took those crosses and just took the pressure off the defence. And another clean sheet. And listen, we weren't at our free-flowing best today, but when you can't be, don't concede, because we know we're fine goals. And you know, I think 10 clean sheets now in the season, and Gavin and the rest of the players deserve a lot of credit for that.
Manager of the month, Danny Cowley there speaking to Ollie Marsh after the full-time whistle on Saturday afternoon. Adam Hillier, Kevin Stokes alongside me for this evening's edition of the Football Hour. Adam, we'll talk about that award for Danny Cowley then, manager of the month of November. Myself and Kevin just talking off air then. Fortunately for the Blues, that manager of the month curse did not carry over onto Saturday's game.
No, it didn't. And, you know, it's been something that has been an unrunning theme and a bit of a joke here recently. But, no, in all fairness, through the month of November, he completely deserved it. I mean, you know, the turnaround that we had where, you know, we were saying where these wins are going to come, where these points are going to come from. And just the turnaround the whole team's had and the club's had. And you can feel it when you're walking around the ground on match days now. People, you know, are buzzing with sort of the performances we're doing week in, week out now, and, you know, long may it continue, and very much deserved. I'm sure they'll keep it up.
An email here from Dave Byrne. Hi, Jake and co. Pompey's recent run has reignited our season. There is no reason why the good run should change radically anytime soon. We have half a season still to go. It was disappointing to drop points against Sheffield Wednesday, but there's a real opportunity developing with our season being potentially transformed going into the new year if we can keep the positive results coming. I remember it being said on the Football Hour not that long ago that the top two places had probably already gone at the time. Plymouth Argyle and Rotherham held those places. We are now breathing down the neck of Plymouth. I firmly believe that when fully fit, there is as much ability in our squad as there is in any other in League One, with the arguable exception of Rotherham. Squad fitness plus January transfer activity will certainly prove key, and not just at Pompey. Can we make one or two changes to the team that will give us the added momentum and edge that we probably need? Dave Inlis, thank you very much for your email. Certainly a topic of conversation for the next part of the show, which I will be bringing Kevin and Adam back into very, very soon. And we'll also hear the post-match thoughts of Pompey women's footballer Danielle Rowe, who spoke to Max Swatton after the full-time whistle at the Draper Tools Community Stadium yesterday afternoon.
From every single one of the girls, we fought right to the end, even into extra time. We gave everything we got, and unfortunately it was just two sloppy goals to concede, but I couldn't be more proud of the girls.
We'll speak about Sunday's South Coast Derby defeat at Havant, and we'll also continue talking about Saturday's 2-0 win for the men over Morecambe at Fratton Park. So don't go anywhere and keep it Express FM for the continuation of the Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to part two of tonight's instalment of the Football Hour here on Express FM, driven to you this season by Stagecoach Across the South. You can download their app now from either the Apple app or Google Play Store. You can plan your next journey and even track where your nearest bus is at. Tonight I'm joined alongside Kevin Stokes from That 80s Show and Adam Hillier, Pompey fan and sports journalism graduate as well from back home. We're going to come back to Kevin first of all. And we were talking before the break about Pompey's defence, Danny Cowley being named manager of the month at the weekend, and I really left it on the note of an email from Dave Byrne, Kevin, who spoke about how a couple of weeks ago you were looking at the top two of Plymouth and Rotherham and how that looked to be a little bit kind of too far away to catch up on for Pompey now. But, you know, you give Danny Cowley and the Blues their credit. You look at it now, the table, 1 point away from the playoff positions now, Pompey, and even the top two, only 5 points away.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think, I mean, firstly, that award very much deserved. I mean, he clearly is passionate about football, all things football. I think he lives and breathes it. And I think I've driven past the training ground a few times and seen them out there doing their drills. And he works them hard. And you can tell over the last, since that Ipswich game, for me, since then, they look like a unit now. And the stuff that he's been trying to, you know, get across on the training field has happened on the football pitch, apart from set pieces. I mean, our set pieces are not great. No. You know, case proven, we scored a headed goal on Saturday, so that's great. So that's, I hope that's the first of many. I put in a tweet the other day, I'm expecting the next one at the end of March. But I reckon we'll be on a run of headed goals from corners now, and free kicks.
And so, penalties, we haven't scored one of them
penalties,
yet.
Let's have a pen, yeah.
The man who took the corner to set up Conor Ogilvie at the weekend, Adam, was Miguel Aziz Loney, of course, from Arsenal. Coming into the team over the last couple of weeks, and he's been quite a regular face, and despite at the start of a campaign probably looking like one of those loan signings we don't get to see too often, but how would you assess how he's come back into this team and the performances that he's put in?
Yeah, his development over the past few weeks has been, you know, really impressive. I mean, if you read Arsenal Twitter, he's the next coming of Mesut Ozil, so, you know, he's got a lot of hope to live up to. But no, all jokes aside, I think he come in and there's a lot of weight on his shoulders, and he's playing in a position really that maybe is a little bit more deep line than he's used to. I think he prefers to get forward a bit more, but he's doing a really good job, and I think having Williams next to him has probably done a big help for him, because, you know, he's a young lad, he's probably, like I say, playing the position he doesn't really, not as used to playing that deep line, and he's coming into a place where we're very light at the minute. I mean, we're missing Morrell and Tunnicliffe and Thompson, and so to play like he did at the weekend and look as confident as he did, and he was moving the ball well, fair play to him. I mean, it's not an easy place to come out to on loan, and, you know, there's big expectations every time you do, and for a young lad as well, but I've been very impressed with him, and good ball in for the goal on Saturday.
Yeah, if I can just add there, it's like with any of these loanees, if they come in and get a run of games, they're going to get used to the system, get used to the players around him. I mean, he's a young lad, he's quite daunting to come in a new changing room and meet, you know, seasoned pros in some respects, and then to get out on the football pitch and expect to play with them. But get that run of games. He's had 5 or 6 now, I think, on the trot. And, yeah, you know, it's showing. You know, yeah, he's looking confident now there.
Yeah. And, of course, Miguel putting the ball in from the corner around the 70th minute on Saturday to give Pompey the 2-0 lead over Morecambe. And just, you know, Pompey, this season, as a result of not scoring a header until Saturday, you know, the first or the second week of December, to go that long without scoring a header goal is just phenomenal. But Miguel made it look as easy as that, and I don't mean that as a pun, because it was as easy, Miguel as easy as that.
And it was a header from a corner.
And header from a corner from a corner.
Yeah.
It's got the makings of every single dad joke out there. But,
yep.
He put in a decent ball. And Kevin, considering what we saw on Saturday, it feels harsh in saying, but I think it's the truth. If you look at some of the deliveries from Marcus Harness, as much as he's been a great player for Pompey over the last month or two, not quite up to standard. Sean Williams, quite a few corners, disappointingly not beating the first man. Is Miguel Aziz someone you'd like to see on set pieces going into future matches?
Well, yes, if he puts them in the box like that. What I do feel sorry for is Rags, Sean Raggett, coming all that way up, being on the back of the train, middle of the train, front of the train or whatever, and then they do a short corner,
yeah,
you know, which gets wasted, and then he's got to go all the way back. I mean, they do work on corners, but I don't know if the corner taker is talking to the guys in the penalty area as to what corner's coming next. And it is disappointing with Harness and his final ball. That has been his letdown. He's got in some great positions, and it's not just, you know, Harness. there's other players as well. We're getting good positions, and the final ball in is poor. And, you know, you can't score goals with poor service.
No. I saw a tweet on Twitter, of course, earlier today, Adam, from Pat Buckley, who I spoke to, and he's allowed me to read his comment out on the show tonight. He said, League One is such an exciting league this year. Genuinely think that anyone in the current top 12 can go up. Is that something, is that a statement you can agree with?
Yeah, I would as well. Every year we stay in the division, the more competitive it seems to be getting. And it's to the point now that, you know, we know the number of big teams in the league, but the MK Dons have been having a good run at it as well. And the Oxfords are up there again. And it's one of those divisions now that, you know, if you're going to go up, you need to be a good side to stay up. We know how hard the Championship is. And the teams in League One are starting to, you know, match. Maybe, you know, we've seen teams go up like Luton, who have been, you know, stayed up. So, yeah, it's a competitive league, and it makes for the football to be a lot more attractive. I have to say, Saturday wasn't the best from an attractive football point of view, but, you know, on Tuesday night against Sheffield Wednesday, it was an attractive 0-0 draw. So, yeah, the standard is definitely improving year on year.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, Adam. And as 0-0 draws go, that was one of the best ones I've seen. I said to my son the next morning, he said, "How did Pompey get on?" I said, "We drew 0-0. He said, "Oh, that was rubbish then." I said, "No, it's actually a good game." He said, "How can that be a good game? No goals." I said, "But there was lots of good football, you know."
And if you look at the teams that have been in League One, have adapted to League One over the last couple of seasons, you know, Kevin, as Adam's pointed out there, you know, this season you've got Sheffield Wednesday. Mm. Last season you had newcomers Ipswich Town. You've had Sunderland come down in recent years. Wigan still in League One. I know they've had their financial troubles and whatnot. Bolton Wanderers, you know, again a financially troubled team of late. Blackburn Rovers, when Pompey were promoted in 2017. Rotherham, bit of a yo-yo club, but they always seem to go up. Mm. Is this the most competitive League One season that you've seen, certainly in recent memory?
I think so, yeah. I mean, there are some, you know, if you look at their former recent history, I mean, a lot of these teams have been up there, and, you know, along with us. And, you know, it's sad to see these big clubs go down the leagues like we have done, and the Boltons and, you know, the Sunderlands like that. But it makes for good football on a Saturday afternoon or an evening on a Tuesday. Yeah. You know, and enjoy going along to Fratton Park up in the north. Upper Moners Club.
Gav Jones on the emails. "Hello, gents. Don't get me wrong. We can't really grumble at 3 points and a clean sheet. However, I don't know how you feel, but I actually enjoyed the midweek game a lot more than Saturday. Even though we didn't get the win on Tuesday, it just felt a little bit more exciting and entertaining. Saturday felt very slow and pedestrian. P.S. It will be a very sad day when Bazunu has to return to Man City. What a keeper. Mark my words, he will be the new Ben Thompson that we will bang on about for years. Thank you to Gav Jones on the emails."
Yeah, no, I was just going to add to that. I mean, you can't beat Fratton Park under the lights.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and I think we played proper football last Tuesday, and it was, you know, against a big team. They brought 1,800 fans down, and that made a difference. You know, Morecambe, bless them, they only brought 182, didn't they? But, you know, fair play to them for coming all that way. But it does make a difference when the away team bring an end.
Absolutely. And Pompey on Twitter have actually, within the last 60 seconds or so, have just put out a stat from Pompey's defensive record this season. 13 clean sheets in all competitions. Fleetwood, Crewe, Shrewsbury, Doncaster, Sunderland and Bolton in the league. Harrow in the FA Cup. Crystal Palace under-21s in the EFL Trophy. Wickham, Lincoln and Gillingham. And Sheffield Wednesday and Morecambe also in the league. And Adam, that just goes to show that, you know, even Pompey, with Clark Robertson out injured, Paul Downing out of favour, out with an injury as well, Conor Ogilvie having to come in from left-back to centre-back, Kieran Freeman, a predominant right-back, coming into centre-back, Sean Williams, a centre-mid, coming in to fill in at the back. The Blues have only had one fit centre-back for a very long time, and we've still kept all of these clean sheets.
It's quite impressive, actually. You know, if you don't concede goals, you can't lose games, as the old saying goes. And, you know, it's great that we've sort of defensively that strong now this season, that, you know, if we're winning games 1 or 2-0, there's nothing wrong with it, because we're not conceding the goals, we're not in, you know, dogfights each game to try and put the ball in the back of the net, and it makes for a lot more comfortable watching from the stands, I can tell you that. So yeah, it's great. I mean, and we've only got players to come back in the defensive position, and also the January window fast approaching now. I'm sure it'll be a position that Danny and the team will be looking at investing in, and looking maybe for a couple of extra bodies down in the trenches, so to speak. So, yeah, hopefully look, that these clean sheets continue, and you know, we might come the end of the season, we might have most in the division, which would be a turn up for the books.
Yeah, we're expecting Clark Robertson hopefully back from his injury, Kevin, soon. I know there's no definitive time frame on that. We've been told anything between kind of Christmas and New Year period, so maybe January, mid-January, hopefully we can see Clark Robertson back. With the way that Sean Raggett is obviously playing this season, he's an immovable force in that back line, whether it's a back four, a back three, back five, back ten, whatever. Conor Ogilvy, with his form of late, again, someone it'd be harsh to drop. If we do adopt the similar tactics and the formations we have in recent weeks, which is a back three with two wing backs, is it just as straightforward as having Sean Raggett, Conor Ogilvy and Clark Robertson as the three centre-backs?
Well, yes, I was talking to my dad about this as well, actually, because, I mean, I'm not a fan of three at the back. I'm pretty old school, 4-4-2 would do me. But I think I saw this guy, I saw Clark in pre-season and the first couple of games of the season, and classy player, yeah. Looks good. And it's a shame he's been injured for so long, but let's not rush him back. We're doing all right at the moment, but if we do play three at the back, I mean, that's three talented footballers there, you know, Raggett, Ogilvy and Robertson. And, yeah, if we can get the wing-backs bombing on, brilliant.
Yeah. OK, then, we're going to come on to the men's discussion again in a little while. We're going to preview a little bit at Saturday's trip to Plough Lane, where Pompey take on AFC Wimbledon for match day number 23 of this League One season, hoping to make 10 league fixtures on the trot without defeat. That would be a phenomenal achievement if they can do that. I'll bring Kevin and Adam back into the conversation very shortly. However, first, we're going to turn our attention to the Pompey women. Now, this week has been a big week for Jay Sadler's side. Two South Coast derbies in the space of just 3 days. On Wednesday night, they take on Southampton Women at Fratton Park in the FA Women's National League. However, yesterday afternoon, the two teams locked horns at the Draper Tools Community Stadium in the FA Cup. The two sides were drawn in the latest round of the competition. And here on Express FM, for the first time ever, we had the rights and the commentary to the match, as commentated by Matt Drabble and Ian Chiverton.
Lane looking to toe one into the path to Casale. Casale in the penalty area, looking back for Aubrey. Still not cleared. Aubrey, left-hand side of the penalty area, looking to spin Millie Mott and maybe force a shot towards goal. Quayle, things just slowing down for Portsmouth. Quayle fires a shot in of her own. It's blocked, but only as far as Aubrey. Back to Casale. Casale curls one in the corner. Portsmouth have the lead. Well, in a day which has been dominated by Racing, Portsmouth have taken pole position in the South Coast Derby. It's Casale with a volley, whipping it over Kayla Rendell and nestling it in the bottom corner. Southampton 0, Portsmouth 1. Bridge tries a little clever turn, but she'll lose out, and Saints can put the ball back in the area. Kendall's header nestles into the corner. Southampton have their equaliser. The Saints are back in this one. Bridge tried to escape up the right-hand side with a clever turn, but she did it just 5 yards from her own byline, and Southampton pick Portsmouth's pocket, cross it towards the back post, and it's nodded home. Your score, Southampton 1, Portsmouth 1. Provan, this time corner kick coming in from the right wing. Just under 6 minutes gone in the second period of extra time. FA Cup third round tie. It will be Provan. It will be lobbed towards the penalty spot. Flicked on, loose in the area, bundled over the line. Saints may have just found their winner. It dropped towards the back post and was volleyed in through a crowd of bodies. Portsmouth looking glum. Saints streaking with shirts of red and white in celebration towards the touchline. They have found a go-ahead goal 6 minutes into extra time. Game sends it over halfway. Sent into Jasmine Younger, the makeshift striker. Younger looking for a pass forward to Casale, but too much weight on it. All the way through to Kayla Rendell, who will bend down and pick this one up. And that will do it here at the Draper Tools Community Stadium. Saints celebrating. Southampton win 2-1 in the FA Cup third round in extra time. First blood to the Saints, but we will do it all again Wednesday night in the league. And Portsmouth will have their chance at vengeance. One more time, your final score, Southampton 2, Portsmouth 1.
Really, really disappointing and a harsh result for Jay Sadler's side on Sunday afternoon. Defeated 2-1 after extra time by the Southampton women in the FA Cup. Knocked out of the competition. However, the two sides will, like I said earlier, draw battle at Fratton Park on Wednesday night as league action returns for both teams. On Sunday afternoon, Max Swatton from the Pompey media team caught up with midfielder Danielle Rowe.
Dan, a disappointing result, but a performance to be proud of.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I couldn't have asked for any more from every single one of the girls. We fought right to the end, you know, even into extra time. We gave everything we got, and unfortunately it was just two sort of set-piece goals, two sloppy goals to concede. But, yeah, I couldn't be more proud of the girls completely.
How important is it to take this performance into what is a massive game on Wednesday?
Oh, 100%. You know, we knew that we could compete against them. That was never in doubt. And I think today just showed the fight. You know, we played some really good football out there as well. Really unlucky to come away, you know, without progressing through to the next round. So, you know, we know that Wednesday will be no different, but we'll give everything we've got on Wednesday as well.
How much more added spice does this give the Wednesday fixture?
Oh, massively. You know, we want to fight back. We want to, you know, we want to prove to them we can beat them. You know, they're a good team, but you know, we worked hard, and I think we definitely deserve something out of today. So we'll use that for extra fight on Wednesday.
What do you think you'll need to take that next step?
I think we've got to be more clinical. I think we've got to take our chances. We had a couple of sort of goal line scrambles, which potentially should have gone in. Nothing in terms of fight, determination, you know, work rate from any of the girls. That was all absolutely top notch. So, yeah, just taking our chances when we can.
And this Wednesday, Fratton Park under the lights. How much are you and the girls looking forward to it, especially now after wanting to bounce back?
Yeah, you know, we've been fighting for this for ages. This is what we wanted. And against Southampton, it's a big game anyway, especially after today. It just adds to it. But, yeah, I can't wait.
81400 is our text number. Start those with the word express. If you've got anything to add to the show this evening, whether it's a comment about the men's game on Saturday or whether you've got a thought from yesterday's unfortunate 2-1 defeat after extra time for the Pompey women in the South Coast Derby, you can email pompey@expressfm.com. Include @expressfm on Twitter, or you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/PompeyLive. When we return, we'll take a closer look at Wednesday night's big game at Fratton Park, and we'll hear the thoughts of head coach Jay Sadler, who is looking to put things right and get a bit of revenge over Southampton.
I think this performance has given this group of players belief as well as optimism, knowing that we can go and compete with them. We've got the quality and we had the mentality today. We just didn't have the final edges in both box, which ultimately define the game. So we've got to work on them aspects, but hopefully under the lights in front of our fans, we'll be raring to go to put this right.
Stay right where you are. The Football Hour will be back with you momentarily.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back for the final time tonight to the Football Hour here on Express FM, supported this season by Stagecoach Across the South. Still to come tonight, I'll welcome back Kevin and Adam to discuss a week of South Coast derbies for the Pompey women, and we'll take a quick look ahead to the men's upcoming fixture against AFC Wimbledon 2. But before all of that, we continue our preview of the big midweek clash at Fratton Park. Both the Pompey and Southampton women will meet once again, this time for league action. Here's a closer look across enemy lines. Fratton Park hosts midweek football, but it's not the men in action under the floodlights this time around. Instead, the Portsmouth women have the honour of performing at PO4.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
On Sunday afternoon, Jay Sadler's side were harshly beaten 2-1 after extra time by fierce rivals Southampton in the FA Cup at Wesley Park. But just 3 days later, the Blues have a chance to exact their revenge. Southampton are in town once more, but this time for league action.
Manager.
Since 2018, the Southampton women have been led by former Arsenal and Fulham attacking midfielder Marianne Spacey-Kale. The now 55-year-old is considered by many in the women's game as one of the greatest English footballers of all time, having earned 91 caps for her country between 1984 and 2001, scoring 28 goals within that time. Spacey-Kale was inducted into the English Football Hall of Fame in 2009 and was awarded an MBE in the 2016 Birthday Honours for her services to football.
One to watch.
Northern Ireland international Laura Rafferty is one to keep a close eye on during this fixture. The 25-year-old, who started her footballing career with the Saints at academy level, had gone on to play for the likes of Chelsea, Oxford United and Brighton and Hove Albion before re-signing at the start of this season. Rafferty now has vast experience in the Women's Super League and Championship. This campaign of the Women's National League, she has bagged 2 goals from 10 appearances. Midfielders Lucia Kendall and Lita Rutherford have also been earmarked by Pompey fan and avid women's football supporter Ian Chiverton as players who will also pose a threat to the Blues.
Top scorer.
Striker Ella Pusey is currently their leading scorer. The 21-year-old has found the back of the net 16 times from 13 appearances this season. Pusey is second in the top scorers chart for the Southern Premier Division, with one of those goals coming from a penalty spot. The top scorer in the league is Pompey's Shannon Albury.
Current form.
Southampton have only grown since their successful bid to gain promotion to the National League. 8 wins from their opening 9 fixtures, thanks to large financial backing from the main football club's fund, has seen Spacey Kale's side unsurprisingly challenging for promotion again this season. They currently sit third in the division, 4 places and 8 points above Pompey, but recently lost to tabletoppers Ipswich, who have won all 11 of their league matches so far. So far this term, Southampton have scored 43 goals and conceded just 3 in the league. Can Jay Sadler guide his side to a win over their bitter rivals at Fratton Park, or will it be a second South Coast derby defeat in the space of just 3 days? All of the unmissable action on yet another special women's edition of Pompey Live. A closer look then into the opposition on Wednesday night for the Pompey women. Of course, bitter rivals Southampton visit Fratton Park for the FA Women's National League fixture. We'll come on to talk about Sunday a little bit then, Kevin, and you know, the Pompey women, Jay Sadler's side, they took it all the way to extra time. We know Southampton have got a lot of funding behind them in terms of, you know, how connected they are with the overall football club over there across the M275, but yeah, it was such a narrow defeat for Pompey, who certainly held their own throughout the entire 90 minutes and like I say, extra time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to take them to extra time, you know, we were talking off air, you were filling me in on the current form of the team along the road. And, you know, to lose 2-1 after extra time is no bad thing, I don't think. And they've got the opportunity to, you know, to correct that on Wednesday and give them a good go under the lights at Fratton on grass. And, I hope they do it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's always disappointing to lose to your bitter rivals.
Not sure if you heard or followed the game on Sunday. Adam Pompey really harshly beaten by the enemy. I don't want to say their name too much. But, you know, the Blues at 1-1 had an opportunity to get a penalty. And the ball was blocked on the line by the Southampton defender, cannoned off her arm on the line, and there was a lot of shouts behind the goal that the ball actually crossed the line. Of course, no VAR and the Women's FA Cup at this stage of the competition, but you can't help but feel, Adam, like, you know, myself and Kevin talk about there, the quality within the opposition side and the money behind them is a lot, and for Jay Sadler's team to go out and put in such a performance where they arguably should have won is a phenomenal achievement, and they got a great opportunity on Wednesday to put that right and get their revenge.
Yeah, do themselves proud again. I mean, derbies, we know from the men's game, are always one of the great equalisers. It's the occasion more than the actual teams on paper and the form and the like. So, you know, and that'll be the case again on Wednesday. So, yeah, no, it's, I did keep up to date with the game of the weekend. And, yeah, it's one of those things. It's sometimes it just don't go your way. But they seem to have played well for the duration of the game. And, you know, after 120 minutes, it was they're unfortunate not to come away into the next round.
And a great opportunity on Wednesday night, Kevin, for the Pompey women to play at Fratton Park. Something we've seen happen every now and then. It kind of happens every 3 or 4 years. The Pompey women are allowed to play at Fratton Park for a game or two in the season. I know a lot of fans out there would like that to be a little bit more frequent. Unfortunately, not the case. They've got their home at Wesley Park, the Draper Tools Community Stadium, a great little setup there. And, you know, in terms of the attendances that the Pompey women get, it's a perfectly sized home. But in terms of Wednesday night, Fratton Park, a lot more fans coming down to watch the game. A great opportunity for you know, supporters of the men's game to come and see what it's about. And for the players of the Pompey women, how will they be feeling walking out on that turf, knowing about the history of the stadium and the size of the club?
Yeah, it'd be great for them. Really great. And, if you can't enjoy playing football, I mean, the pitch currently is looking the best ever. You know, it's pristine. And if you can't play football on that pitch, then he shouldn't be playing football, really. But I think it'd be great for the girls to go out there, hopefully with a good crowd. I mean, we were talking just now, how many might we expect? But let's Let's hope people are listening to this and not doing anything Wednesday evening. Was it 7:30 kickoff?
It's an 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock kickoff, even later. Yes. There you go. And yeah, go down to Fratton Park and cheer on the girls. And it'd be great for them coming out of the tunnel. You know, sharing the whole match day experience like the guys do on Saturdays. Yeah. Brilliant.
And if you're not going to the game for whatever reason, you can catch all of the action of the Pompey women against the Southampton women on yet another edition of Pompey Live here on Express FM from 7 o'clock. Henry Deacon alongside Matt Drabble and James Wilson for all of the coverage at Fratton Park. And before we do finish off tonight's show, we're going to hear the thoughts of Jay Sadler. He caught up with Max Swatton on Sunday afternoon and was first asked if, despite the result and despite the defeat, if he was still proud of his team.
Yeah, definitely. We're hurting as a group. We're disappointed. I'm disappointed. We don't want to lose any game of football. But I am proud. I think that performance warranted more. I think we should have got more out of the game. We had opportunities to get more out of the game. Some things out of our control that haven't helped. But ultimately, we've lost. But yeah, I'm really proud in the manner in which we performed, manner in which we played. I think in that first half, we've dominated a large spell of the first half and arguably should have created more chances and come away with more than a one-goal lead. But as the game got into the latter stages of the normal time and also in extra time, it was asking a lot from this group. But this group gave everything they had, so I can't complain. I'm disappointed, I'm hurt, I'm upset, but I'm ultimately also proud.
Do you think it was the key moments that defined the game in the end?
Yeah, definitely. The main moments are the fact that we've scored one and they've scored two, and you can't hide away from that. We've ultimately been beaten by two headers, so I'm disappointed with that set piece in the depth of the games. But we were on our last legs, and the girls are giving everything. There was key moments in the game. There was some big decisions that didn't go away. We didn't feel like we got the rub of the green. In that first half, there's a stonewall penalty on Sammy Quayle. She's nudged the ball past the player, been brought down, but the referee's positioning, and he said that at the end of the game wasn't good enough. But he's not superhuman, is he? He makes mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes, so do I. So it is a hard one to take, but ultimately we can only control what we can control, and we can't control the officials.
What did you think we needed to control better?
I think the first half we controlled the ball. We gained a lot of territory in the opposition half. We were able to utilise the ball more. I think probably just needed a little bit more decisive and purposeful on the detail to get in behind them. And then in the second half, and our distances as well, all the way through the first and second half, I think our distances between players and between units were spot on. We held the castle well. We didn't allow anything to break through us. And I can't remember Han actually having to do anything. It was just a shame that their first opportunity came in, and we needed a little bit more desire and a little bit more, probably desire is the word, to get the ball clear. And then in the latter stages of the game, they've got a corner that wasn't a corner. It's come off their player. Everyone's seen it apart from the referee and linesman, and unfortunately they've scored from it. So, yeah, we are hurting. We're hurting for a number of reasons. But like I said, we've got to be proud of the performance. It was a true Pompey performance, and there's a lot of positives that we've got to take now into Wednesday.
Yeah, you're right, a proper Pompey performance, and what better way to back it up on Wednesday under the lights at Fratton Park?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a real positive. Now we can go into that game. I think this performance has given this group of players belief, as well as optimism, knowing that we can go and compete with them. We've got the quality, and we had the mentality today. We just didn't have the final edges in both box, which ultimately define the game. So we've got to work on them aspects, but hopefully under the lights in front of our fans, we'll be raring to go to put this right. Ultimately, we want to win. We know we can win. We believe we can win, but we've got to do the things, the finer details in both boxes in order to do that.
How excited are you and the players?
Yeah, massively. And we can now actually look forward to this game. All our focus has gone on today. Right now, we've got to reflect on the performance, and we've got to move on. But now we can look forward to an occasion, another occasion. But a fantastic opportunity given to us by the main club. They've been phenomenal with us these last few months now, really joining us together, and it's given us a fantastic platform. There's arguably no better platform than Fratton Park to play a South Coast derby. And yeah, we're going to be licking our wounds. We're going to go in. We're going to want revenge. We're going to want to fight with them again. But like I said, we've shown that we can go toe-to-toe with them. We can go toe-to-toe with any club in this league. We now just need to refine them, find the details in order to get the win.
Pompey Women's head coach and now Pompey Live pundit here on Express FM, Jay Sadler, speaking to Max Swatton after the full-time whistle on Sunday. And just before we do go, just one more cheeky little plug for Wednesday night. Henry Deacon, Matt Drabble and James Wilson with all of the coverage as the Pompey women take on Southampton women for the second time in just 3 days. FA Women's National League action at Fratton Park if you can't make it to PO4 in midweek. Just very quickly, Adam Healy, you've got about 10, 15, 20 seconds. Saturday, AFC Wimbledon away, a chance to make it 10 league games unbeaten. What an opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I know we've played there already this season, but a new stadium as well. So taking that atmosphere as well. So it'll be another good one for the fans who didn't make it in the EFL Trophy. But yeah, as a team that I feel like we should be beating, and you know, with this tricky run coming up, it'll be good to just keep getting the points on the board and just keep ticking over.
Yeah, Kevin Stokes, Wimbledon, tough team in their own right, but certainly a very big chance for Pompey, like we say, to go 10 unbeaten.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think we should, you know, keep the same team, keep the same unit together, and get those 11 out on the pitch, go at them early, get an early goal, and just make it a bit easier for ourselves.
Yeah. Kevin Stokes, thank you very much for joining me on the show tonight. You're back here on Express FM this evening.
I am.
From
9 o'clock. The 80s show. Yes. 9 till 11. Stay tuned.
Looking forward to that one. Thank you very much, Kevin. We'll hear from you again soon. I'm very sure of that. Adam Hillier, thank you very much for calling in tonight.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, pleasure as always.
Pleasure as always to have you on, Adam, and a pleasure for the first time, as I say, to welcome Kevin Stokes onto the show this evening. He's back from 9 o'clock tonight with That 80 Show through till 11 p.m. OK, well, that is it from us this evening. I'm afraid to join us on Wednesday night for full coverage of Pompey women against the Southampton women. For the men's, the next game is Saturday afternoon here on Express FM, 2 p.m. It's a trip to Plough Lane to take on AFC Wimbledon.
Unmissable action.
This is Pompey Live.
Pompey got back to winning ways after a 2-0 win over Morecambe on Saturday.
Portsmouth returned to winning ways after their midweek draw with Sheffield Wednesday. They have beaten Morecambe by 2-0 at Fratton Park.
Up next, Pompey travel to AFC Wimbledon. Join us for all of the unmissable action Saturday from 2.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
We look forward to once again welcoming you to another match day here on Pompey Live on Saturday afternoon to see if the Blues can make it 10 league matches unbeaten when they travel to AFC Wimbledon at the weekend. Once more, a quick plug for Wednesday night. It's a big game at Fratton Park. Jay Sadler's Pompey women take on their bitter, bitter rivals. A chance to exact revenge for yesterday's unfortunate FA Cup exit at the Draper Tools Community Stadium. It's Pompey women against Southampton women here on Express FM. Full coverage from 7 p.m. kickoff at Fratton Park, 8 o'clock. It's going to be a great occasion. If you can't make it, do join us for all of the coverage. OK, coming up tonight here on Express FM, Jeff and Aids are back after the 7 o'clock news. They've got the latest from the Sherlocks, Ian Prowse and Maverick Sabre, as well as music from this day in history, including Culture Club and The Pogues. That 80 Show is back with Kevin Stokes, as we've already mentioned, between 9 and 11 tonight. And then from 11 through to the early hours of Tuesday morning, the Express Christmas wind down, just for most relaxing Christmas songs all night long. Nicola Lashley is back from 6:30 tomorrow morning with Express Breakfast, bringing the latest on the road's great music, the Express Rewind, and of course the latest edition of the Advent Giveaway. Thank you very much for tuning in to the show tonight, Pompey fans. Have yourself a safe but a great week. Stay tuned on Wednesday. We'll see you back for that one. Good night.